Thanks for joining us for another episode of Divorce Confidential. I'm Michelle DeLino, family law and divorce attorney with DeLino Law Group in the Seattle Bellevue area. I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Amy Alpeza with Windermere Realty. And we have a special guest today, Cindy Scobie of Evergreen Home Loans. Thank you both for being here.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for being here, Cindy. Like Michelle said, my name is Amy Alpeza. I'm a certified real estate divorce specialist. I am a real estate broker that focuses on helping clients that are going through the transition of separation and divorce, helping them understand their real estate assets and how that pertains to their settlement. So I'm super excited that Cindy's here today. Cindy, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and how you work with clients?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. My name is Cindy Scobie. I work for Evergreen Home Loans. We're a local lender here in the Pacific Northwest. We've grown actually quite a bit through the West Coast, but our home office here is in Bellevue. And I work with Amy and Michelle a lot. Obviously, they've introduced me to a lot of folks who are in the process of divorce or are divorced. And the biggest takeaway that I want to stress is that usually lenders come on board in the conversation after the divorce is finalized, and that can kind of very much limit how a lender can help you when you're going to be looking for next steps with your real estate. So I'm happy to go into much more, but I just wanted to kind of go back to both of you to see if you had anything specifically that you wanted me to speak on.
Absolutely. I think one thing that I deal with in a lot of my cases with my clients is they don't know, I think this is really for both of you too. They don't know what they're going to do and they don't want to come up with a plan and they don't want to commit to a plan. And so then they get scared of like reaching out to people and getting options. They're like, I don't want to talk to a lender because it means I'm selling or buying. I don't want to talk to a realtor because it means I'm selling. They don't want to do those things. And so Cindy, it'd be awesome if you could tell people like just on the lender side, the difference between finding out what the settlement is afterwards and having to work with that, whether it's qualifying income for maintenance or whatever they have to do if they want to buy something, and having that flexibility to know ahead of time to help them maybe get where they want to go. Like, can you tell people just the difference between getting involved with a lender before and after divorce? That would really help out.
Of course. That's a great, great question. So if you are talking to a lender before divorce, you want to approach it, you know, just don't even think about the whole divorce side of it. You're now applying as your own self. So what your lender, I mean, you want to tell your lender, hey, this is something that I'm in the process of, just so we're aware of it and can advise on some different guideline restrictions that we have to adhere to. But really, you're going to be applying just as a sole person. At that point, we're going to look at your credit. We're going to look at your income and obviously your assets. So what I want to mention here is a lot of times people, they have credit together. So this is the opportunity that we're going to be talking about, like, okay, like you're both on this card, who's going to be responsible for that balance, that payment? Again, things that you're going to be able to go back to your attorney on and say, hey, this debt, I don't want to hold, or I need them to hold, or I'm going to hold it, or whatever it is, because we're looking at how to qualify you for the next house. So credit's a big one. Also keeping in mind, you're going to learn about your credit score. You're going to learn about, you know, do I need to do some things to improve my credit score to get ready for my next purchase? Income, we're going to be looking at, you know, what you're currently earning. You know, there's a lot of restrictions on with income. A lot of people have been affected with COVID. If you're self-employed, there's a lot that goes into it. If you don't have income, how do you qualify for the next house? So guess what? We need to see it in the spousal maintenance. We need to see it in child support. And that's what I can be advising clients as they're going back to their attorney to make sure is in place so you can qualify for the next house. And then, of course, your assets. So selling the house, let's say, how much are you going to get? How much do we have to work with for the next house? What are the different assets that the couple has that who, you know, could get what again for the next purchase? So these are the items, the biggest items that I like to flesh out with people, looking at them as an individual, knowing that this is coming down the road, and then what they can go back to with their attorney. And just to add one other just key piece is whoever you end up working with in terms of a lender, they should say to you, hey, I'm happy to talk to your attorney. I'm happy to talk to whoever is supporting you in the separation. So then I can tell them what is needed for you to be able to move on to the next phase of life.
That's such a great point, Cindy. I love that you brought that up because, you know, one thing that I love about working with a team of professionals in the divorce space is the communication between the team and that we're all on the same page advocating for the same outcome for our client, right? And so I think you're right, Michelle. Like you said, a lot of people are afraid. They stick their head in the sand. They don't get the information that they need. And then they just don't deal with it until it's too late. And then now, hey, they can't qualify to buy something because maybe they're holding too much debt, or maybe they opted for a certain amount of monthly spousal support versus taking a larger sum from the community from the sale of a house, for example. So I think those are really great points that you made, Cindy.
Oh, those are super important. I think people it's just the nature of dealing with divorce. You know, it's the most stressful thing, and money and real property is like the biggest, people are really scared about what to do. And so they don't do anything until they have to. I've really found that some people, there's two kinds of people in the divorce case. There's the kind of people that are like, rip the Band-Aid off, I'm doing this. And they're like ahead of the game. And that's really only about 10% of people. 90% of people are like reacting and they're not doing anything until they really have to, or until the stress level becomes too much. And I think when it comes to either refinancing or buying a new home and even thinking about that, it gets really scary. So I would just tell anybody that's listening out there, talk to Cindy, because talking to, you know, the team at Evergreen, the SCOBY team is great, and they will make it feel like it is not stressful for you, because a lot of people, they get overwhelmed, they get inundated, and they don't know what to do. So I also just wanted to say, just, you know, as someone who's worked with them and someone who also works with clients, it can be stressful, but they will help organize it for you and tell you what you need to get them and what needs to happen. And then they'll go over scenarios with you. And then, you know, then you talk to, you know, your family and you figure out what's the best thing for you. But I would say, and I think you guys would agree, having more knowledge and more options is always better.
Always.
Yeah. And I think that's great. You said that. Thank you, first of all, for the
conference, of course,
both of you, I really think that your lender is there to educate you. So this is an opportunity to be educated on what are your options.
Absolutely.
So then you know how to move forward. This is not a commitment that you're going to be using us to get a mortgage, or there's no commitment. And this goes for any lender. This is just an opportunity to get educated on what it's going to take for you to get, whether it's the next house, whether it's buying out your soon to be ex-spouse, with the property that you own together. And it's just going to empower really the client and the folks going through this time to be able to make the best decisions for themselves. And, you know, in many cases also for their children. So.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, that's a good point, Cindy, what you said is it's, you know, I tell clients all the time, whatever, even if you don't own real estate, if you own real estate, you have a real estate problem, right? You have a real estate question. You're going to be moving from one house into two houses. If you have children, you know, school district questions, if that's going to come up. And so, like you said, it's all about options. It's all about finding out, what are my options? Can I afford to refinance this, right? Like, I mean, Michelle, have you ever had cases where you've had a client who is like, oh yeah, I'm totally buying out the spouse, and I mean, you probably haven't because you would never let this happen, but, you know, come to a point in time where then they're, you know, they can't afford to buy out the other spouse, right?
Yeah. I've had people not really my clients, but I actually just had a case where I came into the case kind of late, and there was a lot of uncertainty about what was going to happen. One party really wanted to keep one of the properties, and the other party really wanted them to sell it. And the property ended up being like a little bit out of the Seattle area, so they were having a hard time like figuring out what it was worth and what to do. And I was like, well, we need to get some CMAs. We need to get an appraisal. And, you know, it was like down to the last minute of them not being able to decide what they were going to do. And so what we really had to take a look at was the fact that there wasn't enough money. It wouldn't really matter because they had to, they're going to have to sell it. And that's something they both have to come to grips with, because there's not enough money in the community for either party to buy the other out, for nobody to keep it. So that comes up a lot. And so both of those parties will now need to look at, what am I going to need to do to qualify for something else later? Am I going to need to rent for a while? And we have to wrap our minds around the fact that we have to sell this home because there's not enough money in the rest of the community to equalize the other party. And frankly, we went through this whole exercise in this mediation too, of explaining to them that you're going to share in cost of sale. So that's going to happen. And this is another thing that comes up too, is just about the capital gains exemption. If someone was to hold the home and realize, I want to sell it in 6 months from now, they're going to have half the gains exemption that they would if they just sell it together. Right. So I think a lot of emotional stuff comes up around smart decisions with real property. And that's why getting, you know, someone like Cindy involved, getting someone like Amy involved, getting people that know. I always come back to talking about people that know. I know certain things, but I don't know others. I don't know what you're going to get for your home. I got to ask Amy. I don't know what you're going to need to qualify for a loan, for me or for anybody. I got to ask Cindy. So people have to ask me if they need to know what's likely to happen in their case. So I would just encourage everybody, talk to people who know and get your options, because otherwise, you, like Amy's talking about, you come down to the wire and you can't afford to buy somebody out. That's right. Not a good situation for anyone, you right. know?
And Cindy mentioned this earlier, but it's amazing to me how many people are like, oh, I never even thought to talk to a lender. I'm still going through my divorce. And it's like, yeah, but are you planning on moving? You know, are you going to have to move? Do you know if you can afford to stay? And it's like, oh, my attorney hadn't told that to me or told me to think about that. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, for us, it seems common knowledge, but really there's a lot of things that you don't know until you know, right? And so yeah,
you don't know until you know. Exactly. And so find out ahead of time, so you've got the tools to flex in either direction. I think it's also important too, you know, just about spousal maintenance. Spousal maintenance is the Washington term for alimony. Anybody doesn't know that term. And that's just the payment from one spouse to the other spouse post-divorce, or sometimes even on a temporary basis. And a lot of times people don't understand how that number, this is really the last thing I'll say, because Cindy brought it up and it's important and Amy brought it up. People don't understand how important that number can be later for buying a home. And or if you're paying someone maintenance or alimony, that's going to cut against what you have available if you're qualifying for a loan. So you need to know what those numbers are. And you need to know too, I'm going to agree to more spousal maintenance for 2 years and I'm going to take less of the property. If you're trying to buy something, that's probably not going to work for you, because you're going to need to show at least 3 years and you might not be thinking about that. So my point is, there's so many different ways you can structure your settlement in Washington. It's one of the great things. There's a lot to fight about in Washington, but there's also a lot of flexibility in structuring your settlement. So talking to a lender ahead of time, talking to a real estate professional ahead of time, and getting an idea about just what your options are is going to help someone like me structure your settlement in a way that's going to get you into a home you want. I mean, it's reality, right? It takes a village, I think, with this stuff, right, you guys? I mean, it just really does.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah. Can I say one thing? Cause you brought it up, Michelle. So yes. So the continuance, so spousal support, 3 years, child support, 3 years. So these are really important pieces that in order to qualify, that you want to have in place in your final divorce decree, the documents, you know, these stipulations that a lender can then use for qualifying if we need that income. You know, some folks don't have enough income themselves and need to use that. So these are the things we can help with. And then just also too, you have to show the continuance, but you also have to prove to a lender that you're receiving that money as well. So if you have someone who's not consistently paying you every month and it's not the exact amount, that can affect your ability to also qualify. So there's a lot of pieces that really need to be fleshed out and discussed before you are done with your divorce. Also, people can buy houses without the divorce being final.
Yes, a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
If you don't file yet and you know you're going to do something, then you're good. But Cindy, can you tell us, this is the last thing, I promise. Can you tell us, if a divorce is pending, what can a lender do? Almost nothing, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So if you have a spouse who's willing to quit claim off of the new property that you're going to buy and you qualify for it, you can move forward without having the divorce finalized. So as long as, and actually it's great because we don't have to use that divorce document in our files to say, you know, so-and-so is giving this and that. And so we can qualify you as long as the spouse is willing to quit claim off of the new property. That's all we need to do. We show you actually as married when
that's
you close.
Great. That's really great. That's valuable information.
Really? Yeah. It is. And people totally. don't think about it. And again, for folks who are like, I got to sell the family house, what's this transition going to look like? You can take care of that before your divorce is finalized. If you have the income and the assets for it and the credit. And
a lot of people are scared to, but I think it's something worth looking at. Like you said, if you have the pieces in place to make something like that work, it's worth looking at. Again, it comes back to just know what your options are. You know, that's the best thing anybody can do. Yeah, well, it was really great. Cindy, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. I think it was extremely helpful and we'll have you on again. Definitely.
I would love that. Yeah, I would absolutely love that. Thank you so much, you guys. And yeah, please call your lender during this time.
Call your lender. It'll help. That's your succinct takeaway for the day. Call your lender.
Call your lender.
All right. Thank you. But okay. See you all later. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.